That's what we're talking about. Going on to the Alliance website, camalliance.org. You can register through there or through our app and get yourself connected to that. We have begun our 40-day prayer journey. I hope that you've jumped into that and you are participating, whether you're getting the devotionals or simply just taking some focused time of prayer. I hope that is true for you and that you will follow along with. This isn't just something the Western Pennsylvania District does. This is something the entire Alliance, U.S. Alliance family is doing. So churches all across the U.S. are joining together for this focused time of prayer. And so you're joining a large group of people as we gather for prayer and as we focus on this these 40 days. And again, I do want to reiterate, if you are having trouble connecting, let us know and we will get you connected to that. Whatever that means, whatever that takes, we'll, you know, come to the office and we'll get you connected and make sure you get set up with that. But this entire series will be focused on getting us more connected to God through prayer. As the video just said and talked about, it is the greatest gift we have from God, is being able to connect with our God. If you ever talked with people who practice a different religion, it's one of the biggest differences between Christianity and every other religion, is we have direct access to God, and that He listens and He loves to hear us. And many other false religions, they try to impress God. They try to earn His favor. They're always trying to do something to earn the favor of what it is they worship. And we know that God, in His model of prayer, taught us to start with our Father. And so I love the video because it really focuses in on that relational aspect that Christianity has, that God has invited us in as children, as His sons and His daughters, to approach Him. And He has told us, I want to do these things. I want to do amazing things. All you need to do is ask, and ask with a heart that is pure in that. Paul felt that prayer was so important, he told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. If you're one of those people who likes to do Bible memory verses, this is a solid one, three words. You'll probably be able to finish this by the end of the day and memorize this one, and maybe you can impress some people with your memorization skills. But that's intense. I mean, if you just read that verse, pray without ceasing. What is Paul saying? Is Paul encouraging them to do nothing other than pray? Is Paul saying to the Thessalonian church, you all need to just get together, start praying, and don't stop until Jesus comes back? Just sit there in the church and pray until Jesus comes back. Obviously, no, that's not what Paul is saying. He's not encouraging them to do nothing other than pray. What he is saying is that prayer should be such an integral part of their life that it's not something you start or stop. This isn't something that you do on occasion. This isn't an exercise that you start at one point and then you stop and that's your exercise for the day. However, that's how many of us can treat prayer. What Paul is saying is this should be such a important part and such a investment in your life that it's never that you're really stopping. It's that you're changing the way that you're praying, that you never stop having that conversation with God. God uses the marriage as an illustration often, and I think it's so true. Imagine hearing a couple say, well, my wife and I were planning that maybe on Tuesday we're going to communicate. And we're thinking that that's when we'll talk to each other for 5, maybe 10 minutes if we can handle that. And then we're not going to talk again until we schedule that time, until we really have some time to do it again. No, as a couple, if you're married, you know, you have to communicate all the time. And it's a constant problem in most marriages that improving that communication and opening up those pathways of communication. You know that, especially if you have kids, it takes even more communication to figure out how to organize all of the schedules and all of the things that are going on. And you're constantly having this conversation. It's never that you start or stop communicating with your spouse. It's that you change the way that you're doing it, or you're doing it in different ways, and you're, maybe you're texting and you're calling and you're emailing. I don't know if you email your spouse, but maybe you do. But that's all different ways that you're communicating and getting things across and figuring life out and doing life together. And that's what God is calling us into. He's saying, pray without ceasing. Pray in such a way that you're always in a state of communication with God. It doesn't always have to be this event that you go into a prayer closet, or you go, for me, like go out on a walk or go into the middle of the woods or sit on a kayak and then I pray. That's some of the best times of prayer for me. But there's also me walking into a grocery store and saying, God, hey, if you have an appointment in here, I'd love to have my eyes open to that. Let me know if someone needs a word of encouragement, or keep me open and available to what you have going on here. Sitting in a restaurant and God, do you have something for the server? Do you have something for our waiter or waitress that I should say to them, or can we pray for them, or how can we pray for them? It's just constant state of communication. And if you are in a marriage, hopefully you've learned this by now. Communication is two ways. You also have to listen. And so there's also this art of listening to God and being available for Him to speak as well. That's what Paul is getting at, that prayer isn't something you start and stop. It's not something you do for 5 minutes in the morning and then you go about your day. And the next morning you do it again for 5 minutes. This should be a constant flow. It should be like breathing for us as believers, that we don't start or stop breathing, we just are always doing it. For prayer to be part of our Christian DNA, however, we need to really understand what prayer is. So what is prayer? I think this is one of those things that we come across as we're walking toward Jesus, that we just assume everybody knows what prayer is. So, my question for us, if everybody knows what prayer is, if we've all got the A-plus answer to this, then why aren't we doing it? If we really truly understand what it is it asking for things? Is that what prayer is? Is it just chatting with God conversationally? Is it thanking God for things? Is it all of those things? Is it none of those things? What is prayer? What we do know about prayer is, it is the one thing that we have record of the disciples asking Jesus to teach them. It's the one thing, as they saw Jesus do things that would blow our minds. It's the one thing. It might not be the only thing they asked him to teach him, but in the Word of God, it's the one thing we have record that they asked him to teach them. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.'" Now, if you've read the New Testament a few times, if you've looked at the gospel story and you've seen the way the disciples interact with Jesus and the way they are before Pentecost, then you know this is a group of guys who seldom seem to understand what Jesus is teaching them. They seem to almost never arrive at the point that Jesus is trying to get them to. And yet, even that group of guys was able to acknowledge the power with which Jesus prayed. They were able to acknowledge all the stuff that Jesus is doing, it must come from this. And I think they understood, if we knew how to do that, all that other stuff, it's going to take care of that. Because I think we see from the disciples, they want to do all that other stuff. They want to be impressive, and they want to perform the miracles, and they want to be important. But they acknowledge, they're able to see that prayer, the way that Jesus prayed, it was different. The Pharisees, the religious leaders they had to view and to watch in their day, they made a big spectacle out of it. It was this big thing, and they used fancy words, and they made a big deal about their prayers, and they were arrogant, and they were showy, and Jesus was not that. Jesus got away to quiet places. There are times that we have record of Jesus praying with the disciples, but the majority of the time he would go off into his own place and he would pray. And they would. It says here that it was right after that that Jesus was praying in a certain place, and it was after he finished praying. There's something about the way that Jesus engaged prayer and spoke to his Father that the disciples, they wanted to know how to do that. Do we see prayer as access to the power of God, as a way to knit our souls, our thoughts, and our desires to that of our Creator, as a desperate cry from our hearts to God and to see His kingdom come to a broken world? Or do we view prayer as an obligation that we're currently failing at, but honestly not all that concerned about? How we view prayer will largely determine our future in prayer. If we think something is really important, if we view it as this vital connection to our Savior, which we desperately need for every day of life, it's going to make it pretty easy to prioritize it. If all we see it as is a Christian obligation that nobody's really going to check in on and no one's checking our prayer time card on, then we'll continue to, year after year, talk about how we should pray more, we should do it more, but do nothing about it. If we see prayer as that vital connection, if we see it as our desperate need for Jesus to be a part, because we are living lives that need Jesus to interact, we need His power for daily life. If we acknowledge that whether we're working from home or working out in the world and in the workplace, that we absolutely need Him to get through our day, then prayer is the simple answer to that. I think for some of us, we're living such comfortable lives that we fail to acknowledge our desperate need for Jesus. We go about our day, we do the things we feel called to do, we feel the things we need to do, we do the motions and the actions that we feel like we're responsible for, and we've figured out, I don't really need Jesus for that. I can do what I want to do on my own and in my own strength. And so prayer is a constant struggle for us. If we're asked, yeah, we acknowledge, I know I should more. But really, we don't think that because we're able to manage without it. If we know that prayer can change eternities, heal the sick, and rescue those who are destined for hell, there's a lot better chance we're going to take it seriously. If we look around us and we see our neighbors and we see our family and we see our kids and we see maybe our parents who don't know Jesus, and we acknowledge they are on their way to hell, they're one breath away from hell, then prayer is going to be a lot more important to us, because He is the only one that can change that. He is the only one that can fix what is broken in this world. And when we see all of the brokenness, when we see all of the people who don't know Him, we will want to pray. So at the end of the day, I don't think the church has a problem with people failing at their responsibilities to pray. I don't think that's the issue that we sometimes make it out to be. I think the problem is that most Christians don't recognize the power of prayer. They don't realize what an awesome connection to the God of all creation it is, what it does to our spirits, to our lives, to our desires, to our hearts. The only book I think other than the Bible that I have read multiple times over and thoroughly enjoyed every time is a book called Power Through Prayer by E.M. Bounds. It's one of my favorite books. I loved it when I first started reading it because it's really small and it takes a very little bit of time to read through, and I did not like reading a lot, so I enjoyed that. But man, as soon as you get into it, you're like, man, this guy, he met with Jesus And you, as you read it, you're like, man, this is, your spirit will immediately begin to cry out, I want this. Because for some of us, our spirit is starving for connection to the Creator. We are a withered vine. And what he talks about in that book is this connection back to the source. And I promise as you read it, your spirit's going to be yelling at you, this is what we need. This is what I've been wanting you to do. And you want to have the connection, and you begin to create a desire to do that. Maybe what we need is not another guilt trip about our lack of prayer. I don't think guilt trips work in the first place, and I don't think that's what's going to do it. But to truly understand what prayer is, and once we've gained an appreciation for the power and the relevancy of prayer to the life of a believer, we will find it much easier to prioritize our time around it and obey Paul's encouragement to the Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. It'll make it really easy, much easier in our lives to want that connection and work toward it and prioritize it. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be diving into the realities of what prayer is. We're going to be looking into and about what Jesus taught us in the Word about prayer, how prayer can be a more integral part of our life. And we're going to look at Jesus' model of prayer. To do so, I want to start this morning from a 1,000-foot view of prayer and what prayer is. And I want to look at the two most broad categories of prayer: personal prayer and corporate prayer. Two very different avenues of prayer, and what I would say is probably the most broad category of them. But our deepest and our most significant prayer life should be personal, private prayer life between us and the Lord and nobody else. We should all have a vibrant personal prayer life. That should just be man, it's almost like somebody doesn't want us to talk about prayer. Every one of us should have a vibrant, is this on yet? Check, check, check. Hello. There it is. Look at that. Right in time for that to get fixed. Perfect. Hello? Check? All right, we're good. We should each have a significant personal prayer life. And I know many of us, when we hear that, we say, I know I should. I got to do something about that. But it's kind of like that home project that we keep saying we're going to do something about. But because it's really not that big of a stress, we don't worry about it all that much. And so it's been undone. I just realized this morning I was putting something in our refrigerator. And when we first bought our house, we painted everything. And I wasn't quite finished with a project, which at this point I have no idea what that project even was. But I don't know if you know this, but if you wrap a paintbrush up with plastic wrap, put it in the fridge, it stays better longer. Well, there's still one in the fridge from 5.5 years ago, and I don't even know what that project was, but it's not finished. Somewhere there's something that's not fully painted, but it's obviously not that big of a deal. So, and I've seen that paintbrush many times over the last 5 years, and I see it and I say, I know I should do something about that. I need to do something with that, but it's not really a detriment to my life. It's really not bothering me all that much, and so I don't do anything about it. And for some of us, again, we're living a life where we are managing without that deep connection to Jesus. And first thing, God is calling you into a place where you're desperately going to need him. Arguably, you're already in that place. I mean, if you walk out the doors of this church into this world, you need Jesus. Because you've probably passed people who needed a word from God. You've passed people whose life was falling apart, and God desperately wanted to call you to just let them know that God loves them and pray for them. But we weren't listening because we don't have that deep connection. And I don't, my personal theology, I don't think that that person missed out on a word from God. I think somebody else just got to have that blessing of giving that word because we weren't listening. We weren't available. We didn't have the connection that God wanted us to have. Jesus, he taught his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." This should be a regular practice for us. Now, obviously, this wasn't Jesus teaching us this is the only method to pray, because he himself did not do exactly that. He didn't go into a closet. He didn't shut the door in a room. Jesus most often prayed outside and in a private place. What he's saying is, get alone. Go somewhere where you're not distracted. This is not primarily to be done in front of a TV screen or with your phone in your hand or in a place where you're constantly distracted. Now, we can pray there. I pray while I'm driving. I pray while I'm in the midst of other people. I pray when I'm in meetings with people. But that should not be where we get our deepest connection points with Jesus. If we're not setting aside time, and not like the extras of our time, but some of the best of our time, when we're sharp and when we're able to focus, we set aside that time to be with God and to get that connection. That's what Jesus is teaching us. But if that's the only way we pray, we're missing out on one of the most significant ways that God grows a community closer together, and that is corporate prayer, praying for and with one another. The reality is, though, most people in the church don't participate in corporate prayer. And that's not just Du Bois Alliance Church, it's the church in general. And I think it's either because of a few reasons. Number one, they're intimidated. They don't want to come to a prayer meeting because they're intimidated by the person who prays with the big words and prays for like 35 minutes at a time. They think they're not good at prayer, and so they don't want to do it in front of other people. I get really nervous when I pray in front of other people. I don't want to do it. I don't want to feel like I have to pray in front of other people, so I'm going to avoid the prayer meetings. They think that prayer meetings are boring. Let's be honest. We've all been to one of those where you fell asleep because it was boring. And it wasn't this vital connection to God. It was people talking. And not about stuff that God wants us really to be connecting about. And so there wasn't any life in the prayer. I've been to many prayer meetings where people were praying for the approval of others around them. And they weren't really talking to God. They weren't petitioning the power of all creation to intervene in a broken world. They just wanted to talk in the presence of other people. That happens. Number four, maybe they just don't consider corporate prayer to be a vital part of their Christian walk. I don't need that as part of my life. Number five, I think, is definitely a reason. They don't have a private prayer life. So naturally, they're not going to have a corporate one. These are some of the reasons I think that corporate prayer is not big in many churches. The big question of the day I have for us this morning, if you don't participate in regular corporate prayer, why not? Which of those reasons do you resonate with? Why is corporate prayer not a priority for us? My guess is many of us fit into the typical Christian stereotype. If asked, we would say that we know that we should pray more. We know that we could do more with prayer in our lives. But year after year, we fail to make it a priority. Some of us, maybe we've even set it as our New Year resolutions. And we've said, I'm going to pray more this year. And yet, prayer has remained consistently not a priority for us. We know that prayer brings us closer to God and closer to those that we pray with and for. But we don't even pray with and for our spouses and our immediate family. Some of us, we feel convicted about prayer, but we wouldn't even be comfortable praying out loud with our spouse or out loud with our kids and over our kids, let alone praying with and for other people in our church family in a corporate setting. My hope and my prayer this morning is not to guilt trip us into attending a prayer meeting. That's not going to do anything for the kingdom of God, and it's not going to be beneficial for any of us to attend a prayer meeting because we feel guilty. Instead, my hope and my prayer, especially today or through this entire series, is to highlight our desperate need for corporate prayer and for personal prayer, but to pray corporately for those in our church family who desperately want to draw closer to God and to see God take back our city for his glory. That's my hope, is that we would acknowledge, like, yes, you have a vibrant personal prayer life. That's great. And if maybe you're one of those people who just says, I just don't see a need for corporate prayer, my hope is that you would see that need. You would want to gather with those who are tired of watching the church limp along and celebrate their doors staying open for another year. Too many churches, that's their annual meetings. Hey, praise God, we're still not broke. We can still turn the lights on, and we still have a few people that come here. My hope is that those who are tired of seeing the enemy win in the lives of those around them, and those who don't want our kids being raised just reading about the power of God, but watching it displayed in front of them through their church family, that we would gather and we would pray and we would petition the God of creation to enter this place, to enter our town, to enter our families, to enter our lives and change to a new normal for us. I love how Fred Hartley in his books calls it kingdom normal, that there becomes a different reality, that it becomes normal to see God do things which are beyond our ability. Too many churches get used to church being what humans can plan and execute on a regular basis. And I want us, and I want all churches to get to a place where we're seeing God move in powerful ways, where we are living lives which desperately need God's intervention on a regular basis, where our kids view and see things on a regular basis that says God is alive and he is working in the church today. And if we think that this is going to happen by good preaching, or tasty potlucks, or great worship music, we are sorely mistaken. One thing the disciples asked Jesus to teach them. It wasn't how to preach. It wasn't how to sing. It wasn't how to develop a great youth ministry or a great Bible study. It was how to pray. That's what they asked of him. Teach us to pray. James tells us in chapter 5, verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. This is what Christian community is. This is what many Christian communities are missing. They're not missing more meals. They're not missing more ministry strategy. They're not missing all the bells and whistles that we try to put on things at times. They're missing openness, authenticity, and praying for one another. Being able to meet with a group of people and say, this is what's going on in my life. This is the honest truth about what is happening in my life. Will you pray for me? And instead of being met with derision or scorn or, we're going to fix all of that for you, we just simply pray for each other. And we petition the God of all creation for that. Whether you meet with two or three other people for prayer, corporate prayer is not just when we gather here or when we gather in a room in the church and we have a prayer meeting led by the pastor. That's not the only corporate prayer. Corporate prayer can be two or three of you getting together every morning or every Wednesday morning or, you know, once a week and just praying for each other, getting a meal, sharing coffee, whatever, and simply praying for each other, praying that God would intervene in certain situations, that God would show up in our town, that God would show up in our church families. That's corporate prayer. Or maybe God's calling you to attend some of the prayer meetings here at the church, and we're going to be creating more of those opportunities. But it doesn't have to be led by an elder or a pastor or a deaconess. It can be led by anybody who has a passion to see God move and who wants to gather people for a prayer meeting and to petition God. I hope that you'll begin to acknowledge our need as a family to be in prayer. So what can you take away from today? What are you going to walk away from today with? Well, there's nothing you can do about the past. I hope you know that. No one's invented the time machine yet. But we can make prayer, both private and corporate, a priority today. To say, this is going to be a priority for me. And I want to encourage you, start with you and God. Do not start at the corporate level. If you don't have a private prayer life, please don't come to a corporate meeting and make it look like you have this great connection to God because you're a very eloquent speaker or because you're good at talking. Get alone with God. Seek his face. Just you and him. Learn how to listen and just pour your heart out to him. Now, in the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about what that should look like. Jesus gave us a model of prayer. And so I encourage you to dive into his model of prayer that he gave us. But if you are able to gather with others, even before you have a significant personal prayer life, I encourage you to watch and listen. You don't have to talk. There's never a prayer meeting where you're going to be forced to talk or you're going to be forced to pray in front of other people. That's not going to happen. Certainly not any of the ones I'll lead. You'll be invited at times to pray, but never will you be forced. But just like the disciples did, they simply watched Jesus pray. And they learned there's something to that. And we want to know what that's about. And Jesus then gives them that model. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to break it down so that you understand what Jesus was saying and what he was getting at in that model of prayer. But start with you and God. If you're married, if you have a family, add your spouse to that prayer time. Have prayer time with your spouse. And then add your kids in. If you don't pray with your kids, man, you're missing out on the beautiful times with them. It's such a blessing being able to pray with our kids. I love their prayer life. It started in a beautiful way early on in their life. They just learned it was about thanking God. And so they would thank God for the chair that's in the room and the book that they just read and the dinner that they just ate. But it's progressing more and more into this awesome thing because they're acknowledging, they're realizing, this is awesome. I get to talk to God. And that's powerful. And I'm excited to teach them to listen as well, to hear the voice of God as well, to learn what that's like, to hear God speaking and to follow him. But as you develop your personal prayer life, begin to add in your close family and watch how the depth of your connection with your family changes. And then add in your church family and begin to pray with your church family. If you're really intimidated and maybe you're like a super introvert, just bring in one person to that. Just have you and another person start praying together. You don't have to just jump in full tilt and, you know, pray in front of the church with a microphone. That's not what we're calling you. That's not what God teaches us. But pray with other people engage in personal prayer and in corporate prayer as well. This might be a big step for you, and you might feel like you just don't know how to pray. You don't even know where to begin with prayer. Like I said, over the next few weeks, we're going to be breaking down Jesus' model of prayer. It's very simple, and it gives a great model that I still use to this day. A lot of times especially when I have a good chunk of time that I can sit and pray, sitting in a kayak, I love to just kind of go through Jesus' model of prayer and to begin to just go through the different, as Fred Hartley puts it, as rooms of prayer. And it makes for a great model as you just sit and you worship him and you pray through that model of prayer. My hope is that you'll have a model for prayer in your own lives. There's so many out there. The ABC prayer model, and there's all these different prayer models, but I don't know. I figured we'd just stick with Jesus' prayer model. It's a pretty good one, I think. I think he was good at it. And so we'll break that down. And we'll be creating opportunities to pray corporately as well. For the time being, we're going to have at least a once-a-month prayer meeting. And if we have enough interest and desire, we'll start meeting even more frequently than that. But I really hope and pray that you will journey with us through these 40 days of prayer. And you'll develop a love and a passion for prayer, which will, I promise, change your life. Because when you begin to live in such a way where you realize you need that connection, and you begin to get that connection, then God takes you to even crazier places and into crazier situations, and he takes you and he calls you to these awesome things which just increase your desperation for him. And you'll wonder, how did I ever just go through life without this deeper connection to God? How did I manage without it? That's my prayer. That's my hope for us, is that every single one of us gets to that place where we realize, man, I love this. Where when prayer is talked about, instead of feeling that immediate pang of guilt of like, oh, I know I should do it more, instead we feel like, yes, talk about this, I love this. Because we know we have a vibrant prayer life and we want others to as well. Instead of guilt, we feel excitement when prayer is talked about. We feel pulled into the conversation because something we're very passionate about is talked about. Did you ever talk about something in the presence of somebody and you see their like head turn and then like you can tell they want to be a part of your conversation because they know a lot about it or they're really passionate about it and they just want to be a part of that conversation? That's how prayer should be for us. Shouldn't be like, oh man, I'm going to talk about this, I'm going to feel guilty for a week or two and then I'll just go back to the way I used to do life. But I want a complete shift for us into a whole new trajectory and a whole new passion in our life, that we would want to get alone, that we would look for those opportunities to get alone and be with Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you invite us into this thing called prayer. You have given us the privilege and the opportunity to speak with you. You've told us that you'll speak with us, that we are to listen for the shepherd's voice. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of our prayer lives would be a deep connection to you, that we would know what it is to set aside time to give you the best of our time and to spend that in connection with you. And we will be excited to teach others how to connect with you and how to be in your presence and how to practice your presence. And that we as a church family, that at the very core of who we are, prayer would be there. That every ministry, every meal, every song we sing, every lesson taught, it would come from a core of prayer. Not just a small group of people who are desperately praying for you, but our entire church family would be involved and wrapped up into this thing we call prayer. And it would be the source from which everything is done, because Lord, we know and we trust that if that would be the case, then Satan doesn't stand a chance in this town. And so, Lord, I pray that we would fall desperately in love with prayer. And we would all know from a firsthand standpoint what it is to be in your presence and to long for a time to get away, to be back in an uninterrupted place of your presence. Lord, would you show up in our life in powerful ways? Would you call us into places that to go there would require a deep connection to you, that we would realize our desperation and the desperate place we're in for connection to you? Thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us this week? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great week. Stay safe.